offensive in the Gaza Strip has been going on for more than 3 weeks now and has provoked widespread international condemnation for the high cost in civilian casualties and the grave humanitarian crisis it has spawned. Over the past few days, there have been signs that a ceasefire may soon be hammered out with Egyptian help. But in the meantime, the military strikes continue and the plight of civilians in the coastal strip remains desperate. But how do the people caught up in the middle of the death and destruction in Gaza feel about this conflict? What are their views about Israel and Hamas and the future of Gaza? Well, to find out more, I spoke to Owen Murray of the Irish Catholic Church's development and aid agency, Trocair. Murray lived and worked in Gaza for nearly 2 years, from 2004, and went to it again last November.
Well, I suppose just to say that I have friends who are Israeli and who are in Gaza, and I'm talking to them all, and there's a myriad of different reactions, and people are, where they can, fleeing, and where they can, they are kind of indignant. I think they're in absolute disbelief that the world in the 21st century could allow such a thing to happen. And I think for my Israeli friends, who I'll declare an interest and say they're not necessarily representative of the Israeli population at large, a lot of them would be human rights activists, people who I would say are peace activists. They are hurt, they're in despair at what their country is doing to them. They believe, as everyone does, that Israel has the right to a secure future and that Israeli citizens have as much right to security as Palestinian citizens. But they also know that this isn't going to bring security to Israel. This isn't going to make any Israeli more secure. It's just going to perpetuate this horrific cycle of violence that's been going on now for 60 years.
Both sides have been criticised for pursuing the military option at all costs, even as we see the civilian casualties mount. Why do you think, or why do people there think there's such a determination to pursue this option when common sense would seem to suggest that this is unlikely to achieve a lasting change to the current situation on the ground, that violence never pays?
Well, I'm certainly an advocate of the philosophy that savagery begets only savagery. Unfortunately, the Middle East, and the Holy Land in particular, is an area that seems to be devoid of what we would consider as common sense. And it seems to be an area that is devoid of the idea that those very Christian ideals of turning the other cheek. It's hard to know what goes on in the mind of people who are ordering tanks and helicopters to fire in civilian areas or who are firing rockets into civilian areas. I can't say that I understand it, and I don't think any of the people that I know really do. But I suppose, like all of these things, fear somewhere is at the bottom, at the root cause of it. And people are afraid of being insecure. People are afraid of their own families' lives. People are afraid of not having a future. People are afraid of, you know, the economic collapse that's happening in Gaza. People are afraid that their last shreds of dignity are being taken away from them. And so I think anyone who reacts violently, somewhere inside them, it comes from that very deep-seated fear.
Now, you talked, of course, about the collective punishment. And as we well know, the people of Gaza have been, well, the victim of a crippling blockade by the Israelis for a number of years now, which has caused, of course, incredible hardship and growing resentment against Israel. But in Israel, there is actually a clear majority of the population who support the current offensive. You know, they cite the ongoing rocket attacks against Israel from Gaza. So it would seem that attitudes have hardened on both sides in recent years. Do you share that assessment?
Yes, I do think that attitudes have hardened on both sides, and I think that that is a byproduct of the violence that has been increasing on both sides for the last number of years. I would say that there is a desire amongst ordinary people for peace, particularly ordinary Palestinians who are suffering in a much deeper way than Israelis. I think it's worth noting the Latin Patriarchate in Jerusalem organizes an annual visit of American and European church leaders, and they've just left the Holy Land. And I think one of the things that I really struck me in their statement was a call for more listening and a call for both sides to have the will to listen and to sit down and to pay attention to how the other feels and how the other views things. I'm an Irish person. I was fortunate enough to not live in Northern Ireland and not to have to grow up in the worst part of the Troubles. But it is clear that if you want to resolve conflict, first of all, you have to respect the dignity of the other person. And second of all, you have to just begin to listen to what they say and what their narrative is. And of course, I don't believe that the Israeli government is particularly interested in doing that about Palestinians. And I don't think that Hamas have particular interest in listening to the narratives of the Israeli government either. And in the middle of this, ordinary people suffer.
When it comes to Hamas, how much support do they enjoy among the Gazan population? I mean, do some criticise them for using the high civilian casualties as a means of getting the Palestinian-Israeli conflict back in the spotlight on the international stage? In fact, do they wonder about their motives in continuing to, you know, lob rockets across at Israel?
I think there's a lot of divergent opinion within Gaza, within the occupied Palestinian territory, including Jerusalem and the West Bank, as to the motives and the value of what Hamas is doing, and also what other groups like Fatah. I mean, we're painted the picture that Hamas are bad and Fatah is good. Fatah are also firing rockets at Israel from Gaza and are also conducting operations, and it's not quite as simple as the media would portray it. For people in Gaza, I suppose Hamas are a multidimensional organization. They're not just the fellas in masks that we see on our TV screens with guns and rocket launchers and that kind of thing. They are the organization that when a member of your family dies and you can't afford the funeral expenses, that they provide the funeral expenses. They are the organization that if you need repairs in your home, plumbing or sewage pipes, they come around and make the necessary arrangements. They're the organization that are providing social and psychosocial counseling and trauma care for kids. So Hamas are, to people in Gaza, I think, more than just a military group. They're an organization that provides an awful lot of assistance to ordinary people. And when you're in a situation like people in Gaza are, then people will look to wherever and whatever they can for help, because they don't see help coming from almost anywhere else, including the outside world. So at the same time, most of my friends, in fact all of my friends, are absolutely opposed to the violence of Hamas. They're absolutely opposed to some of the Islamic ideologies of Hamas, and they would prefer a much more secular approach to things. But we have to remember that there are Christians inside the Gaza Strip, and I know some of them who voted for Hamas because they were so frustrated and angry at the failure of Fatah to bring any sort of a normal life and at the failure of the peace process to bring anything resembling peace.
So are you saying that Fatah, in the eyes of many Palestinians, is a somewhat discredited organisation nowadays?
Wholly discredited, and in most areas, I would say, almost close to defunct organisation. And most people don't really miss it. And that's why I think you see the fear amongst the Fatah party to hold elections for the presidency, even though those elections should be happening this January, because they are not confident in their own support. And there is, and I would say for some time, there has been a real crisis in political legitimacy and leadership for the Palestinian people. And what I would say concerns me greatly is that the Gaza Strip, a tiny, tiny area, 1.5 million people living there, squeezed in around half the population who are under the age of 18. What kind of leaders do we want those children to become in the future? And if we ask ourselves that question and then look at the events of the last number of weeks, to me at least, it's very clear that those children are going to find it very difficult to make a positive contribution towards peace and towards justice.
I was speaking to Owen Murray of Trocare.